I was really stirred today on this title of He Knows My Name. And I asked Shirley, could we sing He Knows My Name today? When I was reading and singing this, it's so powerful because it's so important for us to know that He does know us so intimately. So before we existed, before we were fashioned in the womb, this knowledge of God toward us ought to melt us, really melt us, to know that He cares for us. And the words to this song, it's just so powerful. I have a maker, He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father, He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go, or no matter how much blood comes forth, or how much misunderstanding there is, or how much may take place in my life. He knows my name, and that's why, you know, I want us to look at this today and talk about this and read about this and identify about the Lord knowing us. When I say name, I'm talking about us. He knows me. He knows my name. He knows the character. He knows all about us. And we need to know that. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be encouraged in that relationship to really pursue Him and humble ourselves before Him to know Him better. In the beginning, God did desire fellowship, companionship, and a relationship. And that's He brought forth Adam. I just out of the dust, that was God's imagination. He made man in God's image. He wanted fellowship. He wanted companionship. He wanted relationship. He also wanted man to have a relationship with man. That's why He took that rib out of Eve and, okay, we're going to have companionship. I want you to procreate. I want you to obey me. I want you to honor me. That was God's will from the beginning. God knew them. He knew that what was in the heart of man, and He wanted that relationship with them. But because we have a free will, man did not choose to obey, and we lost that relationship in Adam. It's been restored in Jesus Christ. But today, I want to share some scriptures with us about how much God knows our name. He's still reaching out. Even though we've messed up, even though Adam messed up and Eve messed up, God has always been to reach out, always there to reach out, reach out, reach out. And in these last days, He has certainly reached out through His Son, the ultimate sacrifice. He wants us to have that relationship with Him, and He desires that relationship. Well, David really shared some really powerful things here in Psalm 139. Let's look at it, and then we'll share some things from this. Psalm 139, David talking about the intimacy, the degree of God's knowledge of Him and knowledge of us here today. And so let's look at Psalm 139 and read what David has to say about God knowing us. In Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. And when it says searched me, it means to penetrate, to examine thoroughly. God goes way beyond MRIs, CAT scans, blood tests, and anything else that the modern medicine world can come up with, which can benefit us, and that can be very good. I would prefer MRI if I have something that they can't see and before surgery, and I would like to have an image of what's going on the inside, and they can, for a great degree, check this in your vascular system. They can see where aneurysms are and all these type of things and problems with arteries as well as bones as well as organs. They are very beneficial. But I'm going way beyond that as far as God's knowledge of us, way beyond imaging of anything that man can come up with or any psychiatrist or any psychologist. He can sit down and talk to you, but God goes way beyond their knowledge. And He examines us thoroughly. God wants Nicole to be right where God wants Nicole to be. And we need to pause and defer to God's opinion of where that might be, instead of us just making it happen. God, what would you have me to do? You search me. You know me thoroughly. I mean, to me, that's powerful. I want to know more about him who knows me that way. And by the way, I've said this before because I really get edified by it. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says we're going to know him as he has known us. That just, my mind can't go there. We're going to know him as he has known us. And none of us know the fullness of how much he knows us. When we're talking about God knowing, you know. But one day we're going to know him, and that's going to have to be in a resurrected state in order to know him that much. And that, and perhaps we'll take eternity to get the fullness of his love for us. I sometimes think about that. It's just going to take eternity, God, to really know you. But it's going to be great. It's going to be forever. It's never going to end. And David says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Wow. Old Mark hasn't always hit the nail on the head. I haven't always been a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. I have not. But the Lord saw me during those times of failure. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And David knew that. He experienced that. And that makes me today hunger and hunger and hunger for a greater relationship with the Lord. He desperately wants to have communion and fellowship with me. I need to take a hold of him as he has taken a hold of me. Reach out and trust him more so each day. When Lisa was up here praying, you know, for the Lord to have his way with them, with their voices, and not being intimidated by, you know, where they are. And that's why I say to you, I'm not intimidated when I sing. I don't care what anybody thinks. I am commanded to sing and to rejoice before the Lord. And I'm going to do so. And because I don't want to end my life by saying could have, would have, should have, I want to do it. I'd stand up here if they asked me to sing up here, stand up here and sing, I will. I don't care. I'll sing down here. I'll sing up there. I do not care. But I don't want to miss out being disobedient and opening my mouth to praise the Lord. So Lisa's up there praying for them. I'm asking God to help me to say, articulate to you what needs to be said today about his great love for you and how much he really knows you and wants to be acquainted with you. We're all groping, Lisa. We're all groping to hear God's voice, to do what God wants us to do. I am. I don't know what else to do. The greatest success I can have is to hear from God and to do what he wants me to do. There is nothing else. No accumulation of this world, the things in the world, or the wealth of this world can do me like Jesus. That's what I want. And so in verse 2, thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up, thou dost understand my thought from afar. How many of you have had thoughts lately? If we had something like a loudspeaker connected to our thoughts, for anybody to hear.
I'm out of here.
You go to a guardhouse, to a gated community, and you tell them who you're going to visit, and you give them their address and everything, and you got permission to come in, and the person says, well, it's my first day on the job. We have to check some things out, and there's 10 people behind you. And if they could hear, perhaps, maybe, I don't know, in your heart, you might be saying, you are such a jerk. I don't have time for this. And then on a loudspeaker, it just says, you are such a jerk. I don't have time for this. But who does hear it? Who does hear that? Who's examining the deep thoughts? God hears that. But you know what? Sometimes you are a jerk, and sometimes I am a jerk. But God loves me because he knows I don't want to live in Jerkitisville. God knows I don't want to stay there. God knows I want to go beyond that. He knows that. But in the meantime, he still sees something that is so broken that he loves me beyond that.
Amen.
How many of you regret many things that you have said, but you can't go back? But you can be forgiven and you can be clean.
Amen.
Just like brand new clean today, this moment, as you look to the Lord. I like that.
Amen.
The Lord is not examining me to kill me. That would be easy. We are all liars. None is without sin. So it would be easy that if we had sinned, you die. Well, then absolutely, we're all dead. And if that would have been left with Adam, we'd be dead. If that was the end of the story. You partake of the tree, you die. You don't, you live. They ate, they died spiritually. And then later on, many hundreds of years later, they died finally. And then, you know, we have sin in the world. And Jesus came, the second Adam, to do away with that. I'm grateful for that. But God sees me today in my imperfection, serving a perfect God. He loves me so much and is willing to work with me. But I must look to Him. I cannot quit. I can't quit just because we mess up sometime. We have to look to the Lord. The Lord says in verse 2, David says, "You understand my thought from afar." You know why I'm thinking that way. You know where it's coming from. You know where the root is. You know what's going on. And God's desire is to correct that. How many of you know what an antibiotic that is systemic, what does that mean? I'm going to give you got a problem. You have a virus. You have a bacteria, not a virus, but bacteria. You got a bacterial infection. But we're going to give you an antibiotic that is systemic. And what does that mean? Systemic.
It's broader spectrum. It's stronger.
Not just something specific.
Localized. Yeah, it'll take care of anything, pretty much.
And we have also in plant pathology. When we have plants that have problems, we also have systemic insecticides that we can put on a plant. Hollies are prone to some scale problems and just different root-related problems at times from the hollies. So we have a systemic that we can put on them. It doesn't work overnight. It takes a little while because we're going to apply that to the root. And we're going to let it move through the plant systemically throughout to get whatever the culprit is in the plant. So just because someone cries out to the Lord and says, "Lord, forgive me because I've got this problem," they all saw it. The Lord is going to work with you systemically. He wants to work through your entire character, your entire being, who you are, so that you can be free from that dis-ease. And be healed from that. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes we don't get it, but God's working. God's moving. The moment you cry, He hears you. Other scriptures confirm, the moment you cry to the Lord, He hears you. You are instantly freed from that sin and cleansed. But sometimes because of a habit that we have formed, sometimes systemically it has to work to change the attitude and to get us to be thinking more godly than more fleshy. It takes a little while sometimes to get the character turned around, but it's working. It's working. And so the Lord says in verse 3, this is so powerful in Psalm 139, "Thou dost scrutinize my path and my lying down, and art intimately acquainted with all my ways." Wow, we're talking about God being intimately acquainted. Not talk about somebody else, your wife or your husband knowing you. You know, like you've been married so long, you've heard us before. I can finish a sentence. You know, can you finish Ted's sentences sometimes? Can you finish hers? Sometimes I try to finish. Sometimes I think I'm so smart. Huh?
I said, she'll start them and finish.
That's not really honest.
Being married. Working on a few years here now, 36 years, I find that that sometimes I try to finish Shirley's sentence and she says, "Well, that's not what I was going to say," and it humbles you. Because we're all growing. Yeah, that's what I used to be saying, but I'm not saying it now because I've changed. And so we need to be careful that we don't know it all and finish God's sentences. That's dangerous. That alone, man, but God, you try to finish what God is going to say? Wow. To get your own way, maybe, or whatever. Or I know it all. I know what you're going to say. You've said it before, or blah, 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 blah. The Lord says, "Well, we're just going to leave you alone and let you feel and think what you want to think." But when you're humble, come back and I'll tell you what I really want to say to you. Look, this is so powerful, y'all. You got your forks and knives out? Verse 4. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou dost know it all. Mm-hmm. What are you, a mind reader, God? Yeah, I see the thoughts. I know pretty well what's going on. It's not like God is reading tissue. God is reading thoughts. God is hearing thoughts, because just like out loud, you're just doing it on the inside. Isn't that something? Even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Thou hast, in verse 5, enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. See, God's got you covered. That word enclosed means to cramp or to confine. To cramp or to confine. How many of you found yourselves being cramped or confined by God's Spirit, not to do what you want to do, but He's got you confined, He's got you cramped, He's got you in a small place where you just can't fly off the handle and do what you want to do? How many of you know that you're becoming more confident that if you did have a loudspeaker, you wouldn't be embarrassed on your thoughts, a loudspeaker on your thoughts? You would still be embarrassed, but it wouldn't be as much as it was, because the Lord, and you're welcoming the confinement and the enclosement. How many of you know there's a scripture, Michelle, that says you got to put bits and bridles in horses' mouths, but when you can trust them, you can take it out. You can whistle for them. You can say come. You can say go. And they will do it. And the most beautiful thing, whether any animal, whether it be a dog or a horse or whatever, it's the most beautiful thing to see an animal obey when you command. And the Lord uses that analogy with a horse. We put bits and bridles to control them because they're not always obedient. But when they are obedient, and there are people who have had horses, you do not have to have a bit or bridle on them. You can control them just by yee or haw, or just move your knee, the right knee to the left, and the horse will go the left knee to the right, and the horse will go that direction. Obedient, trained, disciplined. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Beautiful thing to watch. How many have ever seen the Yukonuba dog show on TV, and the dogs are well trained? And they always give them a treat for their obedience and stuff like that. But it's just really cool to see the dogs in obedience doing what they're supposed to do, you know, and prancing around and stuff, well trained. And so I have to relate this to myself. I don't want the Lord to have to constrain me because of my untrust, that I don't trust Him. No, He can't trust me. I want Him to trust me. I want Him to know that I'm willing to do what He says for me to do. Where He leads, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way, not part of the way. And David is really, he's trying to shout to the world this awesomeness of God, this knowledge of God that He has for each and every one of us. So Julie, you're right. If I die, then I'm going to die in peace. At least I know where I'm going, you know? But seek the wisdom of God. Seek the wisdom of God, what we are to do. But the peace will result when we trust God. And verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. How many of you know there is a knowledge of God that you just can't grab it all? But this is what's so wonderful. You know it's there for you when you have need for it. Let's just say this room becomes a room for you. And when you come through that door, what we're going to have in here for you is all kinds of things that are going to be good for you. on this earth to be used for the glory of God. All kinds of, they're going to have wisdom on the wall, we're going to have understanding. You know, I'm not looking at the materialistic things, we're talking about spiritual things right now. Wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discernment and prophetic utterances and everything that God has for you, interpretation of a language you don't understand but God does. It's all there for you. You walk in this room and you say, God, I just want it all. You know, it's all for you. Well, yeah, but in God's time, in God's place, and with God's people and certain situations of discerning what God wants to use these gifts for, you're going to be able to use them. But you just can't come in and grab them all and just sling them out like a shotgun. You know, I'm going to shotgun the things of God in my life. I'm just going to shoot everybody with it. But yet it takes God's wisdom to be able to receive the gifts that he has for you to be using them in your daily life. It's too wonderful. I mean, it might be too wonderful for you to grasp, but at the moment, God's going to give you what you have need of. And Mary, the knees may shake and you're going to move to do something, but in that moment, all of a sudden, there's strength in that moment. And one moment becomes another moment, becomes another moment. And each moment that you have, God's going to give you what you have need of. And the wisdom and words, you know, to be able to live and move and have your being in him. It's too wonderful, but God will make it available to you when you need it. And then you're going to say, oh, now I know what you're talking about. Verse 7, where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, and if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. Wow. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. This is so powerful. In verse 12, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. You can be in a very dark circumstance, very confused circumstance. And to you, it's opaque, it's dark, it's confusing, it's not clear. But the Lord will give you clarity, even though all things around you may be obscure, not understanding. And some things that I know right now, some people are going through. It's difficult. But even in the darkness, the Lord says, I have light for you. You don't know the fullness, Debbie, of what the future may have for you. But even in the darkness, there will be night. There will be light for you, regardless. And if we understand that, and we know that, and God wants that for us, no matter what you're going through, no matter the trial, there's going to be light in that darkness, or misunderstanding, or confused time in your life. Knowing that will give you confidence to go through it. That's so powerful. Even the darkness in verse 12 is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. For thou dost form my inward parts, thou dost weave me in my mother's womb. Wow, I mean, it seems like God's knowledge of you goes way back before you were even conceived. Weave me in my mother's womb? Wow. Did God do that for me, Mark Parsons, a few years ago? He weaved me. He did a work in my mother's womb for me. Wow. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In verse 14, wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. And I think that's a big key once again here today for us to know that God is doing a work in our life. You may not know the future, Michelle, but you know that God is going to be in your future. He knows your soul, and he knows it very well. He has a plan for you, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and give you hope. Wonderful are thy works, O Lord. In verse 15, my frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. How can that be? And in thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were not one of them. Do y'all remember reading this at any time in the past? God knowing the days that were ordained for you before there was not even one of them. To me, what David is saying, God is in control of my life. Very acquainted with everything that's going on, all my stupidity and all my faults and all the crazy things I've done wrong. God has covered that in Jesus Christ. Brand new. No record of iniquity, of wrongdoing. Just a record is, the only record I want to have before the Lord is that washed in the blood of the Lamb. Why should I let you into the kingdom? Father, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Good answer.
Amen.
Why should I let you in? Well, because I have Meals on Wheels for 40 years. Sunday school teacher for 30. I mowed the yard every week. I brought flowers. I did this. I cooked. I visited people. Wrong answer. See, that's religion. That's works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace through faith. Not of works. But faith is a gift of God for those who want it. Receive it. I give it to you. I give it to you. Now go exercise it. Wow. And verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Have you ever thought about, see, he had to know this. David had to know that God's thoughts were precious for him to say this. He says, how precious are your thoughts? David is talking about God's precious thoughts toward him. He's not talking about his precious thoughts toward God. Well, they need to be. But he's talking here about how precious also are thy thoughts, your thoughts, God, to me, O God. I mean, that's something to recognize. How lovely, how precious God's thoughts are toward me. And he is wanting to shout this abroad for us to know and to receive it, that we may be just in awe of God's acquaintance with us and acknowledge God for that. And last verse here, if I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. How many of you are getting used to waking up in the morning and having God the first thing, Jesus Christ, on your heart, your mind, and your thoughts, instead of going to sleep with something that you got to do, and you wake up with something that you got to do, and you go to sleep that way, and you wake up that way, instead of just recognizing the Lord habitually? Habits can be good. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. So habits can be good. It's just that we've got a lot of bad habits. Right? You got a bad back, you wake up that way. Oh, my back, first thing out of your mouth. Oh, I got a headache. Went to bed with a headache. I got a headache now. And nothing about God. Nothing about being grateful to the Lord for that night. He says, when I awake, I am still with thee. And I am trying to get into the habit of the first thing I do when I open my eyes, when I have some cognitive thinking going on, when I wake up, just to thank God that he is still with me. I'm with him, and it's going to be a good day walking with him. The very first thing, good morning, Lord. And quite often I have said, good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. And I've said this for many years. Good morning to all the angels of God. Good morning to all the heavenly hosts of God. Good morning, Lord. I say that. And I wake up. And I get out and I go out and start doing my thing. seeking God's favor of how we're going to do it this given day. Today, I want to close with a scripture, and there's many other examples I want to share with you today, but we're not going to do it. I want to share with you a scripture, though, in Hebrews, if you'll turn with me to Hebrews. So powerful. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God judges the thoughts and the intention. How many of you have thoughts sometimes, but the Lord knows the intention of those thoughts? How many of you know you can say something that sounds nice, but the intent is evil? My, how lovely you look today, is somebody you just can't stand, which shouldn't be the case. But they're very hard. They're a hard liner at office. They're paying the neck to everybody. Oh my, you really look great today. But you don't really mean it. Sounds great, but you don't really mean it. You just want to see what they're going to do with that. You know, why are you saying I look great today? Because, you know I'm not. And I know people don't like me because I know what I'm like. Why are you saying that? It'd be wrong for you to say that if you have an intent just to get them going. You see what I mean? And I can walk up to somebody and say, man, you really look cool today, Nessie. I love your outfit. And I don't mean anything evil by it at all, but I almost said the same thing to you as I said to the other person in the office. But I just wanted to get them going. I don't want to get you going. I just want to say it looks cool, what you're wearing today. How many of you know that God sees the thoughts? He goes back to the root. The Lord goes back to the root. That's what He's after. Why the root? Why are you doing this? Because somebody else did it to me. That's why I'm doing it. And the Lord says, okay, I know that. I'm glad that you know that. I know that now.
I'm just saying, I'm reading what you're...
Oh, good. I really want you to hear it. I'm trying to get...
No, but it's on here.
Yeah, that's why it's a take it home. So, in verse 13... And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We can't hide from God. Before we were fashioned, He knew us. He knows our days. He knows our coming. He knows our going. Everything is laid bare before Him. And so why not, if every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, why not do it now? Why not bear our heart before Him now? And everyone in here, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir, has accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But for those who haven't, why not do it now? Because one day you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The demons already do. There's many scriptures about that. The devils already believe and tremble at the name of Jesus, at the sound of Jesus. So why not do it now? Why not get it right now? Why not say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me as you have others? And so it's all open. It's all bare. He knows my name. He knows me. So let us be edified with that. Let us be encouraged with that knowledge of God toward us and cry out to Him more so to have more control, more reign, more rule in our life. It will result in what? Life and peace in the Holy Spirit of God. We will have life. We will have peace just by giving it to Him because He's acquainted with the problem anyhow. Lord, I have a problem here, and I know you probably don't know much about it, but here it is. No, we can talk that way to the Lord, but don't ever say He doesn't know about it. You can bring it to Him. Here's my case, Lord. You know what's going on here with this situation. It's pretty heavy. I know you know about it, but I'm bringing it to you. He does know about it. He has to know about it, but He wants us to bring it to Him for Him to treat the disease. I want to share something with you in closing about something I heard on the radio. Maybe some of you have heard this too. I don't know. But this person was messing around one time, and they they know they had swallowed something, but they weren't quite sure, you know, that it was going to be a problem later. This person began to have intestinal problems on the inside, and they went to have it checked because there was something wrong on the inside after many years, and I'll tell you how many years. So they did an x-ray, MRI, whatever it was, CAT scan, and they found out that inside of his intestinal tract, somewhere in there, there was an image that looked like a fork. The doctor said to him, "Do you remember swallowing a fork?" And the guy said, "Well, about 10 years ago, I swallowed a plastic fork. I thought that it would just be dissolved. It would go away." He had no problems. But for 10 years, a plastic fork was in the intestines someplace, miraculously not causing an infection, not causing any problems. But he began to experience a discomfort and a pain on the inside. He had a plastic fork in his intestines for 10 years. They were able to get it out, stop the problem that he was getting ready to have, even possible death, and be able to get it out. And so with that story that I heard, I was really encouraged, because we today, we not only have perhaps plastic forks in us, but we have things in us that have been dormant for so long that we've been living with. And God does not want us to live with something that is so prone to cause death or disease or some serious problems. But he lived with that for 10 years. Can you imagine? And the guy just simply said, "Yeah, I've swallowed a plastic fork. It was a party or something. I don't know, maybe he had a few drinks. I don't know." But he swallowed that. Isn't it amazing that it was in there for 10 years? And everything else, his food, was able to pass by it and live with that? How many of you want to live with something in you that, in his case, he forgot that it was there, but the doctor asked him, he said, "Yeah," then he remembered. Can the Lord not relate to us because he loves us so much that you've got something in you that needs to come out? Can the Lord do that? Not you, not your memory, but can the Lord do that because he loves you so much? He knows you. He knows your name. He knows what's going on the inside of you. Can the Lord not point it out to you? Should we not welcome that? We should, shouldn't we? So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage me as I hear what I'm saying. Lord, show me if there be anything in me that needs to go. Reveal to me. And even the scriptures say, Lord, reveal unto me any evil way within my heart. Lord, I don't want to live with this. You know, I believe with all my heart, you're covered, you're forgiven. But it's not something you need to live with. God doesn't want you living with a parasite. God doesn't want you living with a nematode, a ringworm, a roundworm, or whatever kind of worm you want to call it. You know people get ringworms? You know people get tapeworms? And it's pretty gross to see how long they can be. But the longer they live, the more they feed, the bigger they're going to get. Can you imagine? Boy, how long have you had this? But it's so serious. I don't want to live with a parasite. I don't want to live with a mind that is in any way favoring the evil psychology or anything, any thought whatsoever. I want to live with a mind of Jesus Christ. And little by little, the Lord shows me, the Lord shows you, we're clean. We are saved in Jesus Christ. We're cleansed with His blood. But don't you know there's things that God wants to tweak out about our character? Someone said to me recently, a guy that works with me, he said to his wife before they got married, a little over a year ago, he said to her, and they were talking, they both love the Lord. With all their heart, they love the Lord. They fasted, they prayed about whether they should get married or not and all this. But he said to her, "The Lord has worked out a lot of things in my life, but," he said, "there are still some kinks." I said, "What did you say?" He said, I told her there were still some kinks that the Lord is working on. And I thought that was humorous, but serious, because you get a kink in a hose, there is no flow. I'm out yard watering my yard and my plants, and I hate it when I get a kink. I really hate it more, Mary, when I go to Home Depot or Lowe's and it says kink free. It does, literally. I said, I want that hose. I want that hose. I don't want a kink. I want a kink free hose, guaranteed. And I swear, I got that hose, and that hose gets kinks in it, and I go back and I turn it. Not all the time, but if you got it and you're pulling it out and it's round up like this and you pull that circle of the hose out, it gets a kink. And I said, well, I had to talk to somebody about what they mean by kink free. Maybe they meant kink resistant. You know? Mildew resistant paint. Something else resistant. You know, but not completely perfect. So how many of you know there are still kinks that God is working on, and He will show you as you live. But He knows you. He knows you intimately. He's acquainted with you, and He wants you to be His child, doing what He wants you to do, not what you want to do. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. May God bless you today as we shared a few words out of God's Scripture in Psalm 139, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13, about God's intimate knowledge of us and God wanting us so much for Himself to be able to live this life free, 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 free from the cares of this world. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And yet the Lord has the same message for us here today. For all those who may be listening, if you don't know the Lord, then I would suggest that you bow your knee before Him and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because one day you will. And I hope you do it today and get a relationship started with the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I pray that you will make it a priority to do that. Those of you that may be listening, either here today or on the internet, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, be encouraged to know that God wants to do a work in your life. He knows you. He knows the problems, but He also wants to be the God who delivers you from those problems. May God bless you today in Jesus' name.